Think you can do that quickly?
I can tell you all of that right now.
Then start talking. Every second counts.
Mildred took up her position by the gates. The two SecMen who would replace those the Nightcrawlers had chilled were nervous and raised their blasters as she approached, even though they knew who she was. It wasn't the most encouraging sign she could have wished for. If they were this jumpy right now, what the hell would they be like when they went into combat? She calmed them and explained her orders. None were to leave, and they themselves were not to step outside the gates. She didn't explain why this decision had been reached. If they were spies, then she didn't want to alert them. If they weren't, then she didn't want to start a panic. From the baffled expressions on their faces, Mildred instinctively sensed that these men weren't among the traitors. But as she settled in to watch on the gates and the road leading into the Silent City, she wondered how many there were like them within the walls, and how many like those who had killed their workmates and allowed the Nightcrawlers to take Doc and Christie. She looked at the two SecMen who were on watch with her. How could they rely on these poor, inexperienced fools?
Shit. I really hope Ryan and JB have a good plan.
Jack prowled the Memphis streets, cradling his .357 Magnum Colt Python. He trusted Ryan to find a way that would minimize risks, but like Mildred, he was unhappy with the caliber of fighter he would have to stand beside. These were good people who only wanted to be free, but they couldn't fight for that freedom, and flinging them into combat was little short of sending them off to die. Which was okay if it was their choice and they were the only ones involved. But their ineptitude could get the companions chilled. Perhaps even more relevant in the current circumstances, it could stop them getting to Christie and Doc, getting them out in one piece if they were still alive. And the latter was Jack's primary concern. Sure, he would follow Ryan's orders, but ultimately he had no interest in these people. Their choices were theirs alone. They had to be the ones to fight for their liberty, whether it took the shape of weeding out the scum who were spying against their own people, or whether it took the shape of going into a head-on firefight with the forces of Atlantis, risking all to ensure their final freedom. The streets were deserted as he circled the walls of the ville. No birds or animals from outside the walls to scent the air, rustle and disturb the peace. Without that scent or sound, Jack felt lost and alone. He couldn't understand how these people could live in such a sterile landscape. Even the frozen lands of the north they had recently escaped carried more life, despite the harsh climate.
Phew, Doc.
Even at the best of times, Doc seemed crazy to Jack. But he'd been triple crazy when they were in the icy wastes, and still the same when they'd first made the jump. Everyone seemed to think that he'd got back to normal, but Jack wasn't so sure. There was a kind of feral cunning about him now, as though Doc were keeping his madness to himself, wrapping it up within him until he felt safe enough to let it out again. And if that happened, there was no knowing what could occur. Doc was a loose cannon at the best of times. Separated from the others, who knew what he was thinking? Fighting with fools was one thing. Against Sec as good as the Nightcrawlers was another. But throw in a random factor like a triple crazy Doc, and anything was possible. All the while this had been going through his mind, Jack continued his patrol. He just hoped that Ryan had a plan. A good one.
Oh, this is hopeless. We need some kind of plan.
Christie watched as Doc tried yet another combination, pulling and pushing at a door that refused to yield.
There is little point in having a plan if we cannot even get past the door.
Doc had been working at the lock for what seemed like hours, and his own patience was wearing a little thin. While he had been doing this, Christie had been examining the rest of the room to see if there was any other possible route of escape. An interior room with no obvious ventilation had to have air ducts. But when she found them, she was disappointed to find that they were far too narrow for any kind of egress. The one thing she had learned was that this wasn't a common cell. On closer inspection, the fine furnishings had to be intended for one of high rank, and on the table were a number of scrolls with hieroglyphs that, even though she couldn't translate them, had an air of some importance about them. She concluded that the lock was as much to keep people out as to keep them in, which was curious. It was almost as though they were guests rather than prisoners.
Doc, I think we should forget about the lock and think about what we're going to do when our host arrives. That's what I mean by a plan. He may be our quickest route out of this room, and we need to know what to do next.
He? You mean that you have an inkling of who may be our captor?
You know as well as I do that Odyssey has us, if we're in Atlantis. But I said host, not captor. I think these are his own quarters, and he's not going to be treating us as prisoners.
Doc said nothing. If she was correct, Odyssey would not wish to drag information from them with interrogation and torture. He would seek to ingratiate and to form an alliance. This is something that would suit Doc's purposes very well. If it were so, then he would have little wish to escape. He could strike a bargain, though he was sure Christie would not feel the same way. He would have to play the both of them along if he was to get what he wanted. And so the last thing he would want is what happened at that moment. Idly, as these thoughts ran through his mind, he had still been spinning the combination lock. The tumblers hit the right combination, and he heard a soft click within the portal as the lock disengaged.
Damnation.
Doc flicked one of the red squares out of sequence, springing the lock back into place. He looked around. Christie was on the other side of the room, poring over one of the scrolls, trying to make sense of the pictograms. Racking his memory to remember the sequence from which he had started, Doc flicked the combination back, ensuring that the lock was exactly as he found it, but not before noting the correct sequence. To Christie, as she looked up at Doc, muttering to himself, it seemed as though Doc were still toiling on unlocking the door. She smiled to herself and gave a gentle shake of the head.
Give it up, Doc. Come and see if you can make any sense of this.
Very well, if you insist.
They were still trying to make sense of the scroll some half hour later, when the door opened. Odyssey stood in the open portal, flanked by two Sekmen armed with hand blasters. He took in what they were doing, then indicated that the Sekmen should wait outside. He entered and closed the door behind him, leaving it unlocked. His entry had been without ceremony, so much so that he was halfway across the room before Christie and Doc looked up to see him approach. Although his squat frame didn't have the majestic bearing they would expect from such an exalted leader, there could be no doubts as to his identity.
My dear sir, how charming it is to meet you at last. We have heard so much about you. Although I must say it was a trifle dramatic of you to bring us here in such a fashion.
Doc walked around the table and grasped Odyssey firmly by the hand, pumping his arm.
There's so much that you can tell us, and so much indeed that I would wish to learn from you.
Doc led a momentarily stunned Odyssey toward the portal, asking him about the hieroglyphs, while Christie looked on open-mouthed. Whatever you thought about Doc, and however many kinds of crazy you called him, he never ceased to surprise you. And maybe, just maybe, this approach would yield some kind of result. Following behind them, she reached them just as Doc had finished discussing the artistry on the portal and had smoothly moved on to his next subject.
Now, my dear sir, I am sure that you have us here because you have heard of Christie's abilities, and you have heard that I, a stranger no less, appear to have some knowledge of your society, even though you live in relative isolation, and I have never encountered you before. I dare say that would interest you, and we will, of course, reveal all in due course. I am, by the way, assuming that you have somehow infiltrated Memphis. The fact that you have not crushed them, but allowed them to flower, shows a certain tactical cunning that I find intriguing. But please, permit me to ask of you this. Before we open our own secrets to you, please tell us how your splendid city came into being.
Doc finished with a smile that he intended to be warm and winning, but came out as unctuous. Odyssey, waiting for the next outpouring, was silent for a moment. Then, when he realized that Doc was waiting for him to speak, he allowed himself a wry grin.
I shall tell you all you wish, in return for which I expect a fair exchange of knowledge. But first, men, food and drink for our esteemed guests.
Within a few minutes, food and wine was brought into the room, and musicians entered to play while they ate.
Our society is based upon ancient ways. The original inhabitants of Atlantis, who were either forced underground or left for the astral skies, sowed the seeds from which all subsequent civilizations grew. Our ancestors...
As Odyssey began to tell them of the origins of his society, Doc began to tune out. It was almost exactly the same thing he had heard from Affinity and had pieced together from speaking to Lemur and Cyan, among others. The litany of Atlantean history was something that, it seemed, every inhabitant learned like breathing, indoctrinated into them from the day they were born. The difference between the two versions being that Odyssey waxed at great length about how people were happy in their place and glad to serve the greater good, taking their place in society, no matter what that might be. Easy to say for a man born into the role of leader, waited on hand and foot. While Doc waited impatiently for the man to spill any secrets about old tech that may have survived, much of the information was new to Christie, and added to the baffling discussion between Mildred and Doc in Memphis, things began to take shape and finally make sense to her. However, it didn't require her doomy sense to start screaming at her when Odyssey looked directly into her eyes.
At each conjunction of the stars, when alignment is right for the return of the travelers, we gather in the vessel. The travelers have not yet come, and that is our failing. We have not mustered enough power for them. There are rituals that we can perform to increase it. Most of these are simple, but there is one that requires a woman who is able to harness great occult power. We have never had such a woman in our midst. But I have heard things about you, my dear.
He trailed off with a gesture toward her, as though he expected her to confirm his suspicions. Christie felt no inclination to do anything except cause Odyssey grievous harm.
These rituals, you have a separate temple for them?
Yes. There is a specific temple room dedicated to the old ones in this very building.
I would like to see it.
Yes, you shall see it. And you?
Odyssey looked directly into Christie's eyes.
While we are there, you can tell me much about your power and about your knowledge. I have fulfilled my side of the bargain. Now it is time for you to fulfill yours. Yes, I feel it would benefit all of us to see the Temple of the Old Ones.
Christie looked across at Doc.
Gaia, old man, what have you set us up for?
By daybreak, the attack was planned. To take a large force would be to risk a massacre at the hands of the Nightcrawlers, and possibly a traitor sabotaging the assault. A better option was to take a small force, led by Mark and augmented by the Companions. Focused, with their game plan to infiltrate hard and fast, heading for the main temple, Ryan figured they had a chance. A small, highly mobile force could dodge patrols, could keep track of one another more easily in the confusion of a firefight, and left a greater force back in the defense of the Homeville. Atlantis was so tightly run, the people so oppressed, and the rules so absolute, that only one clear strike was necessary. Take out Odyssey. With him removed from the game, then Atlantis would be at the mercy of any opposing factions that may wish to assume command, and the uprising of those who hadn't previously thought it possible to self-determine. In this kind of confusion, it would be easier for them to rescue Christie and Doc and effect an escape. As attack was so near, Ryan had recalled Jack and Mildred for the planning's final stages. Things were running as smoothly as he could hope for in the circumstances. There was only one obstruction, the insistence of Lemure in joining them.
Sir, with the best intentions in the world, you aren't a fighter, nor have you ever been.
This is true. I realize it is a great risk to myself, and more importantly, that it means you are carrying someone who is not adept in combat. But this is about more than merely fighting. How can I lead my people if I stay skulking in the shadows while I send others to their doom? Surely I cannot claim to love freedom and to wisely lead those who also seek it if I am not prepared to lay myself on the line for the sake of my beliefs. If I go with you, then Memphis will be united in this cause. But if I do not, many will ask themselves about the wisdom of this decision.
You realize that I cannot guarantee your safety any more than I can guarantee the safety of any of us.
I would not have it any other way. Although I am nominally the leader, still this is a democratic vill. I wouldn't expect preference.
It's not only you. I will also join you. I cannot let you go alone, my husband. We are a team, and we stand and fall together.
JB pulled Ryan to one side.
What's going on here, Ryan? We can't let them join us. It's going to be a difficult enough mission as it is without...
We don't have a say here. Most of the personnel are theirs. And if they want to do it, then we can't stop them.
Yeah? And we can't let them buy the farm either. If they get chilled and we come back with Doc and Christie, then we're in big trouble.
We faced worse.
Maybe. But we won't be in any kind of state to stand and fight again after, if, we get back from Atlantis.
While Mark and Lemire discussed the leader's role in the action, Mildred and Jack had joined the furiously debating Ryan and JB, catching the end of the argument.
John's right, but the fact remains that he's not going to be moved on this, so we gotta go with it.
We think about watching Bax's phone. Not good, Sec, but man, not up to it. Have to be us.
Jack's right. It's something we could do without. But we have to keep those two alive while we're getting Christy and Doc.
Great. Make it easy. Anything else you want while we're at it?